You're listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids!
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's dance-off, bro! Me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to Friday Night, the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show. I'm one of your hosts, Martin Bruda.
I'm Chris Ellis.
And I'm Chris Gilpin.
How are you lads doing today?
Good.
Tired.
Yeah. Tired.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. This week has been so bad. So much insomnia going on. You would think I would use that time constructively by reading comics?
Nope.
No, it's much better to stare at the back of your eyelids.
Yep. Yeah. The worst thing I've ever done in my entire life is put a TV at the end of my bed with YouTube built into it.
Oh, nice.
Oh, it was the dumbest thing. Right now, you know how when you're... I know, yeah, okay, tangentially comic book related. Shut up. It's Friday. But you know how it's like, you guys YouTube, right?
Oh, yeah.
Recommended, next recommended video, next recommended video. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you get on these things, but all of a sudden you like watch one video and then it's like five videos kind of related. Even though you had just watched 20 videos about comic books, you watch one Gordon Ramsay clip.
Yeah.
And there's Kitchen Nightmares all over your YouTube.
Kitchen Nightmares, yeah.
Yeah.
So I got Kitchen Nightmares, some guy who, what was his name, Allison something or another. He's how to show the well-dressed man to take care of his wardrobe. He's always like polishing shoes and stuff like this. I'm like, how did that get on my feed? I polish army nice. Boots. I don't polish shoes.
Polish my runners.
Yeah, exactly. But the DC Comics is on there doing their little spiel. There's a guy who's got a YouTube channel, which is kind of nice. He actually does a rundown of every issue that he buys.
Okay.
So he's got, you know, like what happened in Justice League of America 35, what happened in what is it, Batman 85 and stuff like that. So if I'm books are piling up in my to read pile, I have on occasion gone in there and just watched six videos, took those six books out of my read pile, went into my to be put into the collection thing.
The boxes of doom.
The boxes of doom. Yeah, I went out to the storage locker the other day to kind of merge three boxes in. I got two boxes merged in, and I was looking at the third box when...
I'm dead.
Yeah, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore.
I quit.
So what do you do when your passion for the hobby ebbs a little bit?
You start reading them.
Yeah. You have to book time and just do it.
Just do it.
Turn off the TV.
I sat down because my read pile is massive. Like, it's, we're talking short box long.
I got a whole long box now.
Yeah. And so I sat down one Sunday, I think it was last Sunday, and I was just like, you know what? My wife's like, I'm going to watch TV, and my son's studying to get his boat license. So I was like, okay, well. Tell you what, well, you're reading your boat license or book, I'm going to just sit here and read comic books. And I read through like half the pile. I mean, it took me most of the day.
Yeah.
So I read like 100 comics.
But it was glorious, though.
Oh, it was fantastically amazing to just, you know, read and enjoy it. And some of it you're like, what just happened there? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm a big fan of the Archie horror stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And, some pretty decent stuff there. So, I finally got caught up on all that stuff because I don't know whether the readership just isn't very big for that or they just can't seem to get a series to run more than like four or five issues before they fold it.
I'm still waiting for issues of, the first one.
Afterlife with Archie?
Afterlife with Archie.
Yeah, it's done. I just finally deleted them off of my CLZ. I'm like, guess what? They're never coming, you jerks.
Yeah.
So I finally deleted them off. But in the last issue, they kind of tied up all the little series. So all the stuff that didn't ever actually get completed, they kind of tied it up.
Yeah.
But
because they have for
the Vampironica.
Vampironica.
Yeah. And it was the series Vampironica versus, oh my goodness. It's Werewolf Jughead, anyways.
The Hunger?
It comes from The Hunger. Yeah. Because they're each like individual Archie universes, all of those books. And without getting into like crazy spoilers and stuff. But anyways, they kind of merge all of the universes into one. Like everything from like, you know, Little Archie right up to like the afterlife and all this stuff.
Crisis on Infinite Archies.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Yeah.
Well, I think I was reading, Chilling Tales, Sabrina's Chilling Tales of Horror, whatever it was.
Chilling Tales of Sabrina. Yeah.
And it was like issue one came out, issue two, and then nothing.
For nothing. A long, crickets. Long time.
Issue three, we were like, okay, we're back at it.
Yay.
More crickets. More crickets.
Yeah.
And then issue four, and I was like, oh, no, I'm done.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. It only made like two or three more issues, yeah. And then it was done.
I'm done.
Yeah.
And scene?
Nothing will kill a series faster than just that.
Oh, it's just brutal. I just don't get it.
Yeah.
Like Doomsday Clock, right? I'm resisting reading them. Like I read the first two and it was like, oh, this is great. And then it's like a month delay and then a 6 month delay and then a 99 month delay and blah, blah, blah. It's a 12 issue series. It's what, we're 2.5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in my to read box, just sitting there waiting. I have changed style of bag that I use during the process of this thing. So I actually went back and I went, oh, I've got 4 issues in the old style bags. I'm going to take them out, rebag and board them in the new bags. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like get your bums in gear and release this stuff.
You know what? Who used to be really bad for that was Todd McFarlane and Spawn.
Oh yeah.
He'd be like 3 months behind. I don't know whether it was him because he really is hands off the book until just recently when he started doing up his covers and stuff. But really the book was always behind. And then it got to like 295 and all of a sudden it was like, oh my goodness, you know, 300's coming. And man, they have not missed a month.
Nice.
It is bang, bang, bang.
It's because he's excited about it again.
You know what? I think there's something to be said about that.
You know, he's excited about his creation. He's pushing it and he's trying to get it going, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a bunch of series like that, though, that kind of faded once the original creator was a little less than engaged.
Yeah.
What's that other Archie book that's out there? The one with Vampirella and Red Sonja.
Yeah. Not getting that
like
one.
It's Red Sonja,
yeah,
which is like a barbarian from the Hyborian Age. Mm-hmm. Vampirella, 1960s horror black and white magazine
ish,
you know, yeah. Creation. And Betty and Veronica in high school. Like,
yeah.
Who comes up with this stuff?
I don't know.
I think we got to talk to Dan Perrin and Fernando Ruiz and go, who's in charge out there? What is this? Like,
and they're going to go, have another drink, boys.
Yeah, they're going to be, shh, checks are coming in, shh. Well, Dan's going to say that.
Well, it's, did you see that Power Rangers are crossing over with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
No. That being said, though, the Green Lantern Planet of the Apes crossover was actually really good.
You know what? Some of them really aren't that bad.
Yeah.
Batman and Turtles. There's been three.
I had the first one, and I just could not bring myself to get the second one.
No, I've enjoyed them. I think found them fun.
Yeah. Every once in a while, you strike gold with them, but
yeah.
most times it's like, really?
Well, the Legion of Superheroes versus with Star Trek, that wasn't great.
Yeah,
that was a bummer. But that I really like that green. I so much so that you know I collect those little 8-inch Mego figures from the 70s,
mm-hmm.
and they had a Planet of the Apes set. So I literally took Cornelius, put him in in a Green Lantern costume. And nice. So I actually have a Green Lantern Cornelius with my Green Lantern Corps.
Perfect.
So he's standing there. He has the poopy boots and the slightly torn costume. He doesn't have the nicest costume, and I'm figuring, you know, it's Planet of the Apes.
They were a little
technologically behind, so it's okay. He's got burlap with burlap sacks. I remember the TV show, the one astronaut, he was always walking around in this burlap sack vest. This vest made out of a burlap sack. I'm like, that's awesome.
I want one.
That's a wardrobe for you. That's wardrobe for you. So I got a little bit of a mini rant, if you guys are up for it.
Sure, fire away.
So it's always bad when I have to, you know, breathe a sigh before I get into this. So we've been going over and over about omnibuses, omnibuy, about, yeah, you know, like big volumes and stuff. And Adam's like giving himself hernia, bringing in the biggest ones that he's got and stuff. Yeah, and I've had a few conversations online with a few guys like Kevin online. He has an actual kind of like a pedestal type pulpit thing that he rests it on in front of him when he reads these things. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, so it's like the Bible, like this big thick Bible that you're putting down on this whatever, I'm trying to think of what the word here is, a music stand, pulpit,
easel,
whatever it is. Anyways, he puts it on that and he's like reading it like it's the Bible because it's so thick.
Yeah.
Well, and
you'd sprain a wrist trying to
hold them. Oh my goodness. I switched from long boxes to short boxes because I'm just too old to carry big, huge boxes all the time. I can't imagine these big, massive books. So anyways, part of that is that especially DC, but Marvel on occasion, they'll announce a huge omnibus and we're going to put this in it. We're going to put that in it. It gets us crusty old guys excited because, you know, all of a sudden we're going to get some material that hasn't been reprinted in a while and stuff. But then pre-orders are so low that they end up canceling it. And there's a couple guys online. They're like, DC's going bankrupt. They can't even afford to like put out a book. And I'm like thinking to myself, they just got bought by AT&T.
Yeah.
I assure you, if you knew anything about properties and intellectual properties and stuff, DC's going nowhere.
Yeah
maybe they're going to stop publishing $4.99 20-page floppy disks, books every
floppy
week.
Floppy disk, you just aged yourself right there.
Well, we're talking about Converse. Of course we're aged. You know, it might switch to something different, but there's no way as a house of ideas, as a catalog of characters that they can tap for cartoons, comic books, video games.
T-shirts,
books. Like, it's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. It might significantly change from what we see, but it's not going anywhere. Oh, DC's going bankrupt. I'm like, AT&T just bought DC. AT&T owns Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers owns DC Comics. I don't think Warner Brothers is going bankrupt because you can't get your book. So they canceled Aquaman, the Silver Age Omnibus hardcover, which is just a collection of some of the... Aquaman had his own series there for a little while. And then you guys remember the DC implosion in 78, 76, 75?
No.
Okay, so basically what happens was DC Comics were publishing X number of books, and they decided, you know what, we're going to flood the market Marvel style, even before Marvel was doing it, and just put out a whole bunch of new books. So they revived a bunch of series. They brought back New Gods. They brought back Teen Titans. They brought back Aquaman. Doom Patrol got brought back as a showcase book. So they kind of had a little bit of a publishing surge. Half a year later, it was like, this was a huge mistake. And they ended up canceling all of those books and a whole bunch of other books. Like Detective Comics almost got canceled and stuff like this. So it was advertised as the DC explosion. Well, of course, when it imploded, everyone now refers to it as the DC implosion. So this was a collection of some of those Aquaman stories. So guys like me, that was right when we were reading comics. Right? Late 70s, early 80s. This is our stuff. This is the stuff we remember and are nostalgic about because we were 8, 9 when this stuff came out. So there's a bunch of crusty 50-year-old guys that are like, I want to read these. I haven't read them in forever. Go to your storage locker. You know you got the originals back there. So anyways, the Aquaman got canceled and one guy was a little upset. But another one that got canceled was Legends of the Dark Knight, Steve Englehart hardcover. And that's a little bit significant because there was a little bit of a time there where I'm trying to remember who was the writer, though. It was Steve. Yeah, Steve Englehart was the writer. Marshall Rogers. Oh my gosh. Somebody's going to fry me on Twitter because I forgot what his name is.
Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, Marshall Rogers. They did a bunch of Batman stories. Bruce Wayne got a girlfriend named Silver St. Cloud. They moved to a penthouse instead of being at Wayne Manor. So they were out of the penthouse. And it was sort of the beginning of a psychologically damaged Joker. Before, the Joker was just a bumbling bad guy that you kind of saw in the 60s TV show. Mm-hmm. You know, he tried to beat Batman up with a giant telephone. You know, he was more of a buffoon, more of a clown. And this is the first time that he actually showed, you know, some of the psychotic nature that we're used to the character. Mm-hmm. And those stories haven't been reprinted often. There is a volume way back, I think it was 86. I could be wrong, but somewhere around there. It goes for hundreds of dollars on the aftermarket because you just can't get these stories, right?
Yeah.
That's the one that a lot of people are crying about, is that one got canceled. And the other one that got canceled is the Super Friends Saturday Morning Comics Volume 1 hardcover. So this was going to be reprinting from that era the Super Friends comics that was based on the cartoon, which, again, my generation has a huge nostalgic for, right?
Like, yeah.
This is, you know, we got to get these. And it doesn't hurt that right now Super Friends as a back issue is super expensive. Like, some of them are $50 a piece, some of them are $15. Like, you can't get the Super Friends set.
Yeah, I mean, if you can find them in a good condition.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Because they were kids' books, they're really beat up.
Yeah.
But because of there's only like 15 or 20 guys who actually want to read it, like, I can't imagine. Like, honestly, you said Super Friends, and I'm thinking, oh, the Wonder Twins, you know.
Yep,
like,
they were in it. Yep.
The stupid cartoons and Wonder Twin power.
And before the Wonder Twins, there was a dog, Wendy and Marvin, and they were just like human sidekicks. And then in one season, they got replaced by Jan and it's Jan, right? Jan and Zaina.
Yeah.
And Gleek. The monkey Gleek, was Gleek. Yep. Yeah. Chris is just sitting here going, no. I'm just ever so slightly younger than that.
Just a little bit.
Yo, Joe. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. I have the power.
That is me.
We're like.
When you guys were like trying to get out of cartoons, that's when I was watching them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, and people are upset about this. And there was another volume a couple of months ago. During this DC explosion, they released the Joker series.
Yeah.
And that was significant because that was the very first time a villain was the headliner of a title. And it went, I think it was 9 issues or 8 issues, and there was another issue printed, issue 9 or 10, that didn't get published because of the implosion. Well, the hardcover was going to have that built into it. So this was the first time you could get the complete story, right? Yeah. Final book. So a lot of people were freaking out about this. So there's this one fellow online who shall remain nameless. You can call him Doughhead or Bill Brain or something more colorful than that. But he was all up in arms over how Warner Brothers and AT&T are such big, huge companies that they should publish this book at a loss so he can have a copy.
Mm-hmm.
And because they can't do that, they're obviously failing as a company and they won't be around next year. Like, he literally gave him 12 months.
Yeah. Nice.
You know, you got 12 months before you go bankrupt because you won't provide me with this book that nobody else wants in any significant quantity.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, it's... I hate to pull a Dan, but that missing issue of Joker, they put it on Comixology.
Yeah.
So you can go read it.
Yeah.
You go right ahead. You know, I think these books, like, what they do is they fix up the story and the art and all that stuff, prep it for
some of them
for digital, and that's what they're basing the hardcovers on in the Epic Collection from Marvel and stuff. That's why the Epic Collection kind of jumps here and there, because it's various storylines that have been converted to digital.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, it's not selling. If it's not selling, it's not selling.
And that's why they cancel series all the time, as mad as people get, you know, when they're weird, strange, I don't know, series all of a sudden just like poof stops. like what was that one? It was a it was like a 70s TV show, and they were making it into a horror comic. They were a bunch of weird looking guys. They were
Banana Splits?
No. Banana Splits, yeah. They were redoing that in like a horror thing.
Oh, they did, and you can get it very cheap at Walmart in the bargain bin right now on DVD because nobody wanted it.
Is but, it? Really?
Yeah.
$7 on DVD, $14 on Blu-ray.
But that's what happens, right? Yeah. Like, people come up with a great idea and they're like, oh, you know what? 70s kids loved the Banana Splits, so let's do this.
So let's ruin their childhood by making the mass murdering puppets.
Right. And then and then people are like, what is this crap? I'm not interested in that at all. Like, I remember vaguely seeing like commercials for it on TV, but I never watched it.
We got to introduce you to the wonders of Bigfoot and Wild Boy.
Oh, yeah.
Bigfoot and Wild Boy.
Bigfoot and Wild Boy.
I watch Bigfoot and the Muscle Machines.
right after Bigfoot appeared on $6 Million Man, you probably don't even remember that.
I remember Steve Austin, the $6 Million Man.
They had Bigfoot appear in two episodes. Who was the actor who played Bigfoot? Somebody famous. I want to say it was the guy who played Darth Vader, but I'm not sure if that's true.
David Prowse.
Could have been Lou Ferrigno. It's somebody famous who played him. Like somebody we would know. The guy who played Jaws and James Bond. Something like that.
Okay.
Like the second you mention the name, it'll be like, oh yeah, okay. So he played Bigfoot in a couple of episodes. Soon as that was done, there's this TV producer producing pair called Sid and Marty Croft. And okay. They had all these Saturday morning live action shows that they did. Immediately, it was Wild Boy and Bigfoot. Cash in on this Bigfoot craze.
Nice.
Chris is looking.
Ted Cassidy.
Ted Cassidy was Bigfoot?
Yep.
In the $6 Million Man? Apparently. What else was Ted Cassidy in?
Adam's Family. Lurch.
Oh, yeah, it was Lurch in Adam's Family. There you go, see? I knew it was somebody that we would know.
You say Lurch, and now I know who you're talking about.
Meanwhile, our buddy Sam's like, what do you mean? I met him. Give us a really cool story about something that happened at a comic convention in a green room. Oh, God, I miss Sam's stories. Yeah. But, I don't know. I mean, I saw that DVD for $7. I watched Banana Splits. I'm like, well, how bad can it be? And I'm like thinking to myself, I think I'll just pirate this or wait till it gets on Netflix. I don't know if I want to pay $7.
You just think Catwoman. Even... Like, you know, if something didn't make it, then, you know, maybe there's a reason.
Well, they just released the final trailer for that not that long time ago. And I thought it was still coming to theater.
Oh, no, it came straight to disc quick and straight into the, you know, the big Walmart bin that's full of the bargain DVDs. Yep. Oh, yeah. Right in there.
Just I had no poop. Idea.
I feel like it spent 3 days on the big spinny thing in the middle of the aisle and then immediately ran into the bargain bin. Oh. Just like buckets of it. Just
it's kind of funny how that stuff like that happens.
Oh my gosh.
But you know, back to the kind of the omnibus stuff here.
Yeah.
You can kind of see where stuff is sort of headed. Like when you can buy graphic novels at the dollar store. Something's going on at the corporate level at the comics places. They're completely misreading.
Oh, for sure.
Like what the demographic wants to read. Yeah. And they're just kind of like dumping crap on people and hoping that something sticks.
Well, it's one of those things where, I mean, you've got an old guard of people there. It the same thing happened with DC Comics movies, right? You had... what was it? It was Kevin Smith. They asked Kevin Smith to do a treatment for the Superman film that was going to be the one starring Nicolas Cage.
Okay.
Tim Burton.
Yeah.
So they asked
Superman
him.
Returns?
Yeah. So they asked him to do a treatment of it. And he's like, you're Warner Brothers, right? You know, you employ a guy at the DC Comics offices named Mike Carlin, who has forgotten more about Superman lore than anybody in California knows right now. Like he's forgotten more details. He works for you people as a writer.
Yeah.
Why is he not in this room writing this script? Well, that's because those are the book people. We're the movie people. We know movies. That's the book people. And that's exactly what Marvel got right. Kevin Feige, he's a movie person. But he was so enamored with the characters and stuff from as a kid and stuff like this. He knew exactly, like, first thing he does is he's like, hey, do you read comics? Yes. Want to write a movie? You know? Are you a geeky type guy? Yes. Want to direct a movie? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like he immediately got the guys that get the essence of the characters, and that's why those films all like take off. Meanwhile, the DC Comics ones seem so out of touch, and like the Green Lantern movie. I mean, that was just.
But what's funny about the Green Lantern movie is that the first maybe half an hour of that movie is almost picture for picture the same as the cartoon one.
Yeah.
Like literally it's almost frame for frame the same. Like if you watch them both at the same time, it's exactly the same movie. And then they decide to like go this way and they go that way hard. I mean, it was almost like, it started off as, okay, we're going to make a movie for like young adults. You know, adults kind of thing. And then they're like, you know what? I think this would be much better suited to like the 8-year-old demographic. So let's throw in some Hot Wheels crap here and just kind of like, you know, turn it into a kid's movie. And
yeah, it just, it's almost as if they, well, it's just like Justice League. You can tell two different people worked on that film.
Yeah.
You know, you can absolutely tell. Wonder Woman comes out. It's this wonderful movie, you know. It's a good movie. very strong portrayal of Wonder Woman. Very strong portrayal of the Amazons and stuff. Then all of a sudden we go to Justice League. They're literally showing shots of Wonder Woman's butt under her skirt.
Yeah.
All the Amazons are now wearing metal bikinis instead of actual like garb that would make sense for them. Like the costumes were completely different for the Amazons in Wonder Woman than they were in Justice League.
Yeah.
And then you could tell the more serious Zack Snyder scenes. And then you could immediately see, oh, this was Josh Whedon inserting a little bit of humor here. Mm. Oh, this is that. You could just see the almost schizophrenic nature of the film. And audiences respond to that.
Yeah. Like the last Fantastic Four movie?
Oh.
Did you watch that, Travesty?
No.
Literally at like the halfway point, it's a new movie.
Oh yeah,
it's like completely different. Neither one is terrible, but you slap them together and call it a movie, and it's a pile of crap.
Mm-hmm. Like you can tell. Same thing happened with Adam. We'll get on the horn here in a second and start screaming and yelling at us. But Highlander 2, the exact same thing happened. You know, that movie was plagued by so many delays, different producers, different directors. Then the producers came in to finish it. Then the producers were thrown out. The studio came in to finish it. Then the insurance company came in and said, all right, that's it. We're taking over. And they just hack and slash and slap it, cut, snip, snip. Here you go. Push it out.
Yeah.
Let's make as much money as possible to recover as much money as possible, even if it is a loss.
Yeah.
You know, a $10 million loss is better than a $200 million loss. So just get it out there.
Yeah.
And you can tell.
Well, I love Highlander. Yeah. And the second movie was just like, what are you guys thinking? It's like, because the first movie, it's like there can be only one. So they kind of don't really explain what everybody is or does. But they really go like, I'm surprised that they got Sean Connery back for the second movie. Like, are you kidding me?
Like, number one, pretty much cut their ankles off, right? Like, oh, we're going to make a sequel to a movie that we ended completely. The concept is done.
Yeah.
And we're going to make a movie set in the future. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? It's a movie about time travel of like immortals. So set it, like talk about one of the other Highlanders that, you know, put it in past tense.
Yeah.
Don't try to put it in the future with the same characters.
Yeah.
Go backwards. Like I dig Christopher Lambert.
Yeah.
But he's not the reason why people watch that movie. He doesn't have to be the star of number two.
No. No. And then, I mean, for the third one, they brought in Mario Van Peebles as the bad guy. I liked
that one.
I didn't mind it. It was okay. The fourth one I thought was complete crap. And Adam, he's going to be mad at me. But the reason that I didn't like it was because, one, I didn't watch the TV show, the Highlander TV show. And really what they were trying to do is they were like, okay, let's all say goodbye to Christopher Lambert. You know, we're going to end it this way and we're going to push this new guy. I don't even know what his name is. We're going to push this guy and, you know, we he's going to be the new Highlander movie star. And yeah, it showed, because they've never made another Highlander movie or TV show since that pile of crap called Endgame.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of like Star Trek Generations. It was definitely one of those transitional films that was supposed to, like you say, hand off the franchise.
Yeah.
And it just didn't work.
And it collapses.
It just didn't work. Like, there's so many tales that they could have told in the Highlander universe from before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, give me Ramirez's story as a young guy.
Absolutely.
Doesn't, you know, you can bring Sean Connery back in for the old age flashbacks, but give me a whole Ramirez movie.
Oh, for sure. Like, you have an Egyptian, Scottish.
Oh, that was the best.
Spanish.
We're gonna cast a blind Frenchman as a Scot, and then we're gonna take the Scot and cast him as, like you said, an Oriental.
I think he's supposed to be Egyptian. I think he is, like...
Oh, yeah, Egyptian,
He's Egyptian, and he's got a Spanish last name. Like, his name is all Spanish, all 14 of them. And, yeah, it's...
And most of his development happened in... I say Oriental because it's back in the day. It's not Asia. It's, like, antique.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, it's just weird. I just don't get it. But, I mean, once it's... Somebody made a lot of money out of it.
Oh, sure. They have like 14 cuts of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. The Renegade version, the director's cut.
I used to have all of them on VHS. Like, so I'm old enough, right?
Yeah. That I know Adam has more copies than I do, but I do own a ridiculous number of copies.
I'm embarrassed to say that I haven't not bought any of them on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
I haven't updated any of them.
Oh, I have them all. But, and the other thing that happened there is, I think there was some distribution rights to the original Highlander movie, and it wasn't allowed on Blu-ray in North America for a little while.
Okay.
There was something to do with rights. Somebody was bankrupt, or, you know, how that kind of stuff works. So they couldn't release the disc in North America, but they released one in Australia. Like, they release discs all over the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But is the disc compatible with your player? Is the subtitles hard-coded so you can't get rid of them? You know, all that sort of stuff. So the Australian one was, like, fantastic. It was in English. It was the best transfer possible. It was the best retouch. But it was, like, $76. And by the time you got it over here with shipping, it was $100. Well, I ordered the thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not kidding. I have to look it up exactly because I wrote it down. I think it was 2 weeks later the disc showed up in Walmart. I was so pissed. I was so mad. And then the exact same thing happened to me with Pulp Fiction. Pulp Fiction was part of, what's his name? Chester the Molester. Weinstein.
Oh, yeah.
So it was part of the Weinstein group. And what was Weinstein's company originally?
I'm not sure.
Oh, as a huge Kevin Smith fan, I should know this. The name just escapes me. Anyways, they were going through some bankruptcies and going through things. So Pulp Fiction couldn't be released in North America either for a little while. Well, the Polish version of it didn't have hard-coded subtitles and had a full English track. So if you put the disc in, you turned English subtitles off, and you went to track 3 for the audio, you got the best digital transfer that was available at the time in English and stuff. So I bought that. Sure enough, month later, 2 months later, out it came, and everything was resolved. I was so bitter.
Miramax.
Yes, Miramax.
Oh,
I got to eat more fish or something like this. Take more cod liver oil or something. Don't they say fish food is good for your brain?
Apparently.
Maybe when I'm feeding the fish in the aquarium, I should just take a few chugs of myself. Man, that stuff smells. Whoa. Whoa. Whoa.
Yummy.
Whoa. Anyways, I feel like Chris wants to talk about this. So this week came out X-Force number 1. Benjamin Percy. Yeah, I have the wrong glasses on, so you'll have to forgive me. I'm really going to mess up names. Joshua Cassara and Dean White. And this is, I mean, X-Force. What part of this is X-Force? Domino?
Yeah, she's in there briefly.
You know, like, she's on the cover, but it's Jean Grey, Cyclops, Beast... what's his name? Black Cassidy?
Black Tom.
Yeah, Black Tom. Wolverine. I'm not sure who that guy is. He's from the New Mutants, isn't he? Or...
I have no idea who the heck that is.
The guy with the mohawk, pink mohawk.
Oh.
Isn't he from mohawk. Runaways or something? Or Exiles? Anyways. And then this other girl, I'm not sure who that is. I probably should know.
That's it.
I mean, I read this book. I should know this
stuff. If you read it, yeah, you should know it.
Oh, I need some fish.
I don't know. It's.
I need to eat some of the brain foods. But here we go. Beast, Wolverine, Black Tom Cassidy, Kitty Pryde. Oh, that was Kitty Pryde? No. Okay. That's Sage. Whoever Sage is. Jean Grey, Professor X, Healer, whoever the heck Healer is.
Is that the purple hair
Domino.
Guy? That'd be the purple hair guy.
I don't know. This is Hickman with his prose stuff being stuck in here all over the place where you got to read like text and stuff. I'm not buying comics to read text. I need pretty pictures. But I thought it was good. I thought, you know, we're continuing on with this whole Dawn of X. I thought it was a good series. I'm definitely happy I signed up for it. I'm not too happy that it's coming out twice a month and I didn't know that. So that put a big pinch in the old comic budget stuff.
Pocketbook.
But it was great. However, do we say spoilers and then discuss, or do we just leave this for later?
No, let's just say spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers. 3, 2, 1. Charles Xavier shot in the head. Now you're reading this, aren't you, Chris?
No.
I'm okay.
Not,
no. So
it's all new to me.
What's going on in the new X-Men is they've come up with this system where they make a clone of a mutant. There's a couple of other mutants that are involved in the creation of the clone process, the germination of the clone, the raising of the clone, and then the very last step is Xavier, using Cerebro, transfers the consciousness of a backup copy of the consciousness of the mutant into the clone, so it can automatically regenerate a character.
So death literally means nothing.
Death literally means nothing. Except.
Never did. It never did.
Except.
I know, but now it's a
but
thing.
Now.
Like, except this is my problem with Star Trek teleporters. This is my problem with reincarnation, all that sort of stuff. The guy, the Wolverine who died, his backup copy gets copied to the clone, but not his actual consciousness that was existing when he died. That Wolverine died.
Yeah.
So to everybody else around him, oh, look, Wolverine's back. But to Wolverine, no, he's dead.
Yeah.
There's some new Wolverine that has his memories, but that's not a Wolverine. So anyways, the last step is Charles Xavier does this reincarnation. So in some of the other books, Wolverine's died, Cyclops died, and they bring him back like, da-dum, this is our new MacGuffin. This is our new plot device to make sure our new Mary Sue that anybody can die. Mm-hmm. The guy who's critical to this just died.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, Hickman, this is like 3 issues into your Dawn of X empire here, and you just killed this huge plot device that you tried to set up.
Maybe they're going to say that there's no more clones anymore.
Well, the thing is...
Except for the last, you know, because Xavier's going to be back in the next issue. Yeah. So now, aside from that last one.
Now, Chris and I were talking about this. Go ahead, Chris. We figured it out. We know how they're going to fix this.
Did we?
Yeah.
X-Force number one again.
Who? Okay, Xavier is the most powerful.
Yeah, but Jean Grey is.
Jean Grey has on many occasions shown herself to be a little bit better than, a little more superior to Charles Xavier as far as being a...
Actually, Legion is actually...
Well, Legion even more
he's
so.
He's an Omega or level or something, yeah. Right?
Like that's what that guy's name is, by the way. Kid Omega.
With the Kid pink Omega. Hair. Oh, yeah, with the pink hair. Where's he from? Is it Runaways or is it Exiles? Or I know just enough about that part of the X-Men universe to be dangerous.
Yeah, I'm trying to think where he, the new X-Men with the kids.
But anyways, so I mean, if the consciousness is in Cerebro, which is basically a computer, Jean Grey puts on the Cerebro helmet, reincarnates Xavier, away we go.
Yeah.
So. But it's I dug it. I'm happy. I'm glad I'm reading it. I'm excited about X-Men for the first time in a long time. And I know it's a bit weird and it's a bit different. But again, I'm excited about X-Men for the first time in a long time.
I'm just waiting for the Wolverine series again.
Oh, it's coming for sure.
Oh, it is. They had his. He gave him an annual.
Yeah.
This year, and yeah. He didn't even have a series. Yeah. So, I mean, the series is coming, but yeah, it's. I don't know. The X-Force and stuff, they never really super did it for me. I mean, I have a whack of them, and I enjoyed reading them and stuff, but just to see them on the shelf, I was like,
Well, that's the thing about this. I mean, it's called X-Force, but it's not related in any way, sure.
No, it's just the previous team. It's just to get the guys like me who, like, I remember when, you know, New Mutants became X-Force. So it's to try and get me to buy it. But it didn't work.
But I am finding that it's almost like you have to read every book because there's connecting dots everywhere.
There is. And I'm a bit worried about that because I'm not reading all the books. Mm-hmm. Like I'm getting X-Men, Marauders, which was really good actually, and X-Force. And I think that's it.
That sounds expensive.
Well, yeah. And like up to issue 6, they're 2 times a month.
Yeah.
So is this one of those books that's 18 times a year and it won't be bi-monthly all the time, or is this one of those new things that Marvel isn't telling you about, but they're going to hit you up for $4.99 US twice a month? Like, if that's the case, I'm out.
Yeah.
You know, I just can't, I'm not going to waste a whole bunch of money buying a bunch of books that only give me half the story, and I have to invest in so much more, and like, there's a lot of other good stuff out there to read that doesn't ask for that kind of nonsense. So,
yeah,
you know. Yeah, but there was an announcement that X-Men 4, 5, and 6 have been pushed back already.
Pushed back?
Yeah, running a little bit behind.
Running a little bit behind, yeah.
Which, you know, it is what it is. Again, you know, we could get into the whole diatribe how 20-page comic books are dying and fossils like us are not going to sustain the industry, and
but it's delays that are killing it.
Well, that's like, that's what I still think, like those Scholastic style graphic novels that kids read. This is the answer. This is the answer to everything.
Yeah,
you create the book, it's a whole story, it's 100 some odd pages or 60 some odd pages or 125 pages, whatever. You get your whole story done, art printed, ready, stick it in this book, ship it off to bookstores. Oof, there you go. There's no delays. There's no problems. You know, we're already dealing with Marvel series that are basically just mini-series constantly being restarted.
Maxi-series is kind of, you know, that's what they used to call them when it ran 12 issues. There's no such thing as an ongoing series, really. I mean,
not anymore.
Spawn, Savage Dragon. I don't think there's anything that's run a course since the 90s that hasn't been rebooted 100 times. Like, those are pretty much the only two I think that actually have been continuously published with the same numbers.
Right. So here you go. Here's a way. This is like DC's talking about their DC Black Label. And what they're going to do is they're going to start releasing comic books more in the DC Black Label thing. We'll talk about that in a second. But it's going to be basically a bunch of series, a bunch of miniseries, a bunch of miniseries. Here's a Batman miniseries. Here's a Superman miniseries. Here's a Wonder Woman. Bundle it into one of these original graphic novels, put it on the shelf, you're done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're done. I mean, serialized novels have worked forever. You and I read the snot out of the Star Wars Extended Empire, Extended Universe.
Yeah.
You know, I remember the Mech Warrior books, the Mac Bullen books. So you can sell a book series.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's how manga is sold. That's how all these young reader books. I keep going over and over on this on the Facebook. I don't understand why people don't get it. Dog Man sold 400,000 copies in, I think it was 2017 or 2018. 400,000 copies of one graphic novel. You know, DC and Marvel wishes their comics had reach like that.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, be done with it. Anyways.
Well, I was going to ask earlier, when all these omnibuses get canceled, why not just release them in trade paperbacks?
That's exactly. If you've already gone through the work, you know, then release them in trade paperbacks. And DC kind of does. Yeah, they've got that, the Bronze Age, so you can get Bronze Age of Swamp Thing, the Bronze Age of Swamp Thing 2, or you can get in hardcover omnibus. Silver Age Flash Volume 1, Silver Age Flash Volume 2, or get it in the omnibus hardcover. Yeah. I get them in the softcover. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I already got bookshelves that are bowing and oh, yeah. reinforced with aluminum rods and shit like this.
Yeah. In, you know? I don't know. The omnibuses, I think they just hit a certain person.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I think certain people just like them better. I think it's the same as the floppies, right? Some people just prefer them to, as opposed to graphic novels. Like, I don't mind, like, I'll buy an original graphic novel. I'm really not so much the guy who goes and buys, like, oh, you know, this is from Robin issues, like, 16 to 25.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really dig that. I'll just go buy the issues 16 yeah. to 25, unless they're, like, $25 an issue or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've got, like, two shelves that are 4 feet long that are yeah. bowing like 4 inches in the middle, full of graphic novels. I mean, I love graphic novels. I thought when they did Year One at DC, that was some that pretty was cool fun. Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I remember Marvel did the same thing. They were doing, what were they calling theirs? I have a whole bunch of them. They didn't call it Year One, but it was kind of like a soft reboot of each character. Like, I got a Fantastic Four, I got a Thor, and oh, it was right. the same size as the Earth ones.
Oh, yeah.
Same idea.
Yeah.
I got a bunch of them, but then they kind of killed that idea. So anyways, I touched on ever so briefly, DC has a whole new idea coming for 2020. So what they're calling it 5G, the fifth generation
yeah.
of DC characters.
Okay.
So the idea here is, we're going to retire Bruce Wayne, Clark Kent. I was about to say Linda Carter, Diana Prince, Barry Allen, and they're all going to get replaced. But they're going to be replaced not by who you'd expect. Mm-hmm. So Robin is not becoming Batman,
mm-hmm.
and Wonder Girl is not becoming Wonder Woman, and Aqualad's not becoming Aquaman, all that sort of stuff. A new Green Lantern. So the floppies are going to feature these new characters. And this is going to be this new initiative. Hey, look, here we go. Kids, come recon. Hey, kids aren't going to come
no.
freaking read these
It's going to be bad.
So they're going to reboot the universe, kind of, with these characters.
Again.
The legacy characters will continue on, the big ones. There will be a Bruce Wayne Batman book coming out of Black Label. $7.99 a piece, oversized. Not quite, what was the...
The Batman Damned stuff?
Yeah, like? Not Batman Damned, not Batman Year, Superman Year One size, but the next size down. What was that? Batman The Last Laugh?
Yeah.
The one with Joker and the Lantern?
Yeah. yeah.
That size.
Yeah. Right.
So it'll be a mini-series, a Batman mini-series that size, $7.99 an issue, extra thick, less ads, and that'll be your Bruce Wayne Batman, and there'll be a Superman, and there'll be a Wonder Woman. They'll be told in that, for us older collectors, and for the young kids... Who we got to get in the cool hipster Marvelites that were reading books in college. We got to get them reading. Yeah, they're not gonna read no. this.
Just another reboot.
Do you guys feel really old when you go into a comic book shop?
Yeah, sometimes.
And like
until I see everybody else in there.
The yeah. only the only people who are like yeah, not kidding, who are under 20 are playing Magic.
Yeah, or staff members.
Yeah, like they're not. Buying books off the shelf
no.
Or pre-ordering it. Very rarely do you bump into somebody who's like a lot younger than, I mean, I would say like on average to find somebody under 30, like buying comics and maybe it's just the Peterborough demographic too.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know, like a free comic book day, you see all kinds of like people there, but
I think that's just people getting out to get free stuff. Yeah. But I'm still, you know, you go to Shoppers Drug Mart and you can pick up five of those Scholastic graphic novels.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Archie Digest. There's no Spider-Man magazine on the bookshelf. But you can go and you can get these graphic novels. I'm noticing at Chapters, the graphic novel section keeps getting smaller and smaller.
Mm.
The manga section ever so slightly gets bigger. But that young adult thing with the Lumberjanes, the Babysitter's Club, Dog Man, all those books,
mm-hmm.
huge. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Mm. Like the fact that Lumberjanes jumped from the graphic novel section to this young reader section is huge kudos to the Lumberjanes creators. You know, and that's the marketplace. Like DC's publishing those kind of graphic novels now mm. with their little, and they seem to be aimed at young girls. because it's Mira, it's Supergirl, it's mm-hmm. Black Canary, and more younger, hipper versions of them. Right. So I don't know. I mean, I lived through Wally West becoming Flash, Barry Allen becoming Flash.
They should have never brought Barry Allen
back. No, that was a huge mistake.
But I think really kind of what did it was the Flash TV show.
Yeah.
Like you happen to say that, and I really, it bugs me to no end that they got rid of my Flash. Like, yeah. You know, the Flash of the 90s was not Barry Allen. It was Wally West. And, you know, red hair, flashy temper, fastest man alive, right?
Now, the thing that gets me about the Flash in this specific instance, because there's a lot of people like, you know, oh, that's not my Green Lantern. Oh, that's not my Green Arrow. That's not my... The Flash was so different from all the other characters in that there were more issues of Wally West Flash than there were of Barry Allen Flash when they decided to bring Barry back. Nobody was clamoring for Barry back. It was done. It was moved on. Mm-hmm. It's like Dick Grayson being Nightwing. You're never going to see Dick Grayson in a Robin costume ever again.
But thank goodness we don't see Dick Grayson in a Robin costume. I mean, like, it's... Everybody's happy to see that kind of move on. And you know what? When they rebooted the universe, they were like, okay, well, let's try and make this a bit more inclusive. But they should have just, like, made Wally West go away and give the new guy a new name. Like,
absolutely.
It makes me sad to see that instead of coming up with somebody, like, anybody could be the Flash. All you got to be is fast. It's not like, it's not like it's, you know, something specific. If you're fast, you could call yourself the Flash. So all they had to do was just make a situation, like same thing they did. Barry Allen died, and they brought Wally West in. Kill off Wally West and bring in somebody new.
Well, Jon Stewart is the Green Lantern for an entire generation of kids that were watching the Justice League cartoon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
They're none of the traditional comic book Green Lanterns are their Green Lantern. And it worked. It's successful. There you go. You now have a man of color. Yeah. Who is the Green Lantern.
Yeah.
So push it. Go. Let's run with it.
But it didn't fly in the comic books. And I don't know why.
I don't think they tried hard enough.
You could be right. You know? Like they just kind of went, well, and, you know, they...
They should have done it at the same time as the cartoon. The cartoon was in the 2000s or whatever. Yeah. Jon Stewart took over from Hal Jordan back in late 80s.
It wasn't even Hal Jordan he took over from.
No.
It was like Kyle Rayner.
Yeah.
Like,
he was before Kyle.
Was he before Kyle?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the Green Lantern that we used to read, you know, the Neil Adams Green Lanterns, it got through the DC explosion implosion. It went for a little while and then it got converted into Green Lantern Corps.
Okay.
Yeah. And when it became Green Lantern Corps, just a few issues before that, Jon Stewart was the main Green Lantern.
Okay.
So he's been around for a while. Like,
yeah.
You know, his origin is in those Neil Adams, like his first appearance is in those Neil Adams issues from the 60s. So he's been around for a while. So that's what they're doing. I'll tune in.
Yeah.
I'm not terribly excited. I don't want to spend $7.99 a month for Bruce Wayne books. You know, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. I don't know. When they do stuff, weird stuff like that, like when they did the Green Lantern movie, why would they pick Hal Jordan? Like if they were kind of aiming it towards people in the 90s, like Guy Gardner and Kyle Rayner, they were the Green Lanterns of that time period. I mean, what's his name? Was crazy. You know, he was like Parallax. He was like insane. Yep. And
why is every single Robin in every single cartoon named Dick Grayson?
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's like not Dick Grayson's costume.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just... deal with it. Now, maybe this is exactly what this initiative is going to do. It's going to create a new set of characters, and everybody's going to love it, and it's going to be fantastic. And we'll have the same kind of a transition that we had from Golden Age, Green Lantern, and Hawkeye Man, and Superman to Silver Age. Maybe.
So does that mean we're starting a new age?
Yep.
I saw the guy on Facebook, and he was like, so when does the modern age end?
Yeah.
You know, because it's currently the longest running age of comics. So like, is this going to be the I don't know, whatever they want to call it from here, but like, you know, the transition point again?
Well, they could have easily have called it the millennial age. Yeah. If New 52 had taken off and started the New Age.
Yeah.
Like, if the New 52 transition was good, solid, and continued, that could have been a transition point for, you know, in, because we're running out of gold, bronze, silver. I mean, what are you going to start calling it? Copper and,
yeah.
And lead and antimonium and tungsten.
Yeah.
So, you know, the millennial age.
Welcome to the dung age.
Yeah, welcome to the dung age.
The dung age of comics. Oh. We're there, boys. We're there.
So we got about 5 minutes, a couple of minutes before I got to, like, do the credits. What else have we got? Anything in particular? Or?
Nothing specific. But I guess, like, when it comes to comics, it really kind of hits home when they do something and they bring back somebody that you like. I mean... because when they did, like, even the Ghost Rider movies,
mm-hmm.
they used Johnny Blaze. Well,
there that's was a, your Johnny Blaze. That's
there,
your.
There was a whole readership from the 90s who thought Johnny Blaze had a ponytail and a shotgun, mm-hmm. like he wasn't Ghost Rider at all.
Yeah,
I mean, by the time the 80s hit, he wasn't Ghost Rider. So like the kids of the 90s were expecting to see Danny Ketch on the screen.
Yeah.
And we didn't get it. Mm-hmm. Except what they did was they took the two and kind of mashed them together.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a friend of mine was not impressed. He's like, no, this is stupid.
This shall not stand.
Johnny Blaze did not have the pennant stare and he didn't have the spikes. And, you know, he's like, this is stupid.
This shall not stand.
But that's what happens when they kind of like pee on your comic characters, and then, you know, then the movies don't do as well as they were hoping, and they scratch their heads and go, well, why not?
Well, that's because Nicolas Cage was a producer and he liked Johnny Blaze better.
And it's, you know, and I'm kind of glad we didn't get his Superman movie, but I kind of wish that they had of maybe tapped somebody else for the Ghost Rider stuff. And because he did so poorly, like, we're probably never going to see another Ghost Rider on the big screen, even though there's so much untapped potential there.
Yeah. Well, kids, that's pretty much it for today. Well, this week, I guess. So, heykidscomics.ca. Catch us on Stitcher, Spotify. What's the one that you just found? Podcast player.
Yeah.
iTunes, Google Play. And we will see you all next week.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?